Day, and we remember all of the veterans that sacrificed for this nation, that gave their life. And so we also realize that this can be a sad day for many veterans that knew, had close ones, brothers, sisters, people that they fought with, and just remembering them and their lives and their sacrifice. So we enter in with you in that pain and know that you're loved, and we want to thank you for serving. So again, happy Memorial Day. And so we are finishing our sermon series, Overflow. And as we look at relationships, all relationships, that we all have relationships in our life. And if we are going to have successful relationships, which God calls us to do, he says, it's not good for man or woman to be alone, that we need to be in community. And so if we're going to do that, we have to work at loving people and loving others. And so this week, we are talking about patience. And patience, I hear it, oof. All right, it's, if I'm honest in this journey, that patience is something that I wrestle with. And so, no, as a preacher, I'm not speaking as one, I have arrived and let me tell you the answers. I am somebody in a process and journey. And if I notice in my spiritual walk, in my life, I notice the quickest thing to go is we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, things that come out when you're connected to God, the source, what comes out of your life. I know the quickest thing for me to go is patience. And that's the way I'm wired. Maybe that's not your struggle, but if it is your struggle, know that you're not alone. But at the same time, how do we begin to change that? Because patience, let me say before we get into this, why we need to work on patience. Because patience can alter our relationships. Have you ever noticed when you are impatient, how you feel? Monitor it this week. When you get impatient, ask yourself, how does my body feel? Where is my mental state? And I was monitoring myself this week, and when I became impatient, it doesn't feel good. Even driving on the way to church this morning, it was fine, but there was this bus, and when you try and turn right, I know buses don't turn right very well. So I went, took a street shortcut, and then I looked, and I said, ha, I got ahead of that bus. And so everything was fine. I didn't lose my cool, you know, passer didn't shout at the bus driver or anything like that. I just found a more efficient way. Yet I noticed there was something inside of me that just, I won on the shortcut, but I didn't feel very good because I was impatient. And I noticed it can change the way we think, the way we live. The other day I noticed this. I was on a call center. We all love call centers, don't we? Where you call in and you have a problem, a complaint. I was dealing with a company. I won't throw their name under the bus. But that I was dealing with this company and they kept having these issues and they kept charging, mischarging my account and taking money from my account. And I'd had it. And so I'm trying to get back the money that was mine. And so I'm having to spend my own time, hours upon hours, dealing with, oh, well, you're in the wrong department. Let me transfer you. And then you get transferred to 9 different departments and you're back at the very one you started. And then that lady picks up and says, how's your day going? And I noticed my response was, well, it would be better if this could all get fixed. And then I stopped and thought, really, Rob? Really? You're going to let a company determine your life. You're going to let the frustration somebody else is causing you cause you to not have a good day. You're going to give them that much power? And I stopped. So as I'm saying that out of my mouth, I'm saying, well, it would be better. My day would be better if this would be fixed. And I said, really? And so it made me think how impatience can alter our life. It can alter our relationships. We must dig in because God calls us. He calls us to be patient. And the very nature of patience itself, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, 13 verse 4, that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. We've heard this. And what's so interesting about this verse, often 1 Corinthians 13 is often read at weddings. But if you look at in the context of the scriptures, that Paul is writing this letter to a church that's in disarray. A church that has lots of problems. And so he's coaching them. He's teaching them how to love. Balcony, I forgot about you guys up there. Hello, good morning. That he's teaching us to love. And so God in his very nature, God is love himself. And so love is patient. God is patient. And when we see that, when we look at our life, if you're taking notes, we're going to go to Colossians 3:12 and write this for the very first one. Put on patience in your life. So this morning when you wake up, put on, just like you would a nice jacket. Some of you put on some red, white, and blue this morning. I was told my red's not very red. I thought it was red. Maybe I'm colorblind. But I had some stripes in here, so I thought it was patriotic, but somebody told me it's more like pink. So, but when you get on in the morning and you're thinking, you're intentional, and you put on clothes, put on patience. Because there's something so interesting in the scriptures that it's twofold with patience. It's a command, and at the very same time, we also know it's fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians. But if we're going to practice this, we have to put on patience. Colossians, let's go to Colossians. Colossians 3:12. And you can follow along in your Bibles. We have them in our pews. And if you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. You can follow along on the screen. And Wilshire Live, we have them on the coffee tables. But Colossians 3:12 says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Hold on, underline that, dearly loved, or make a note, come back to that. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to clothe yourself as God's chosen people, somebody that God has chosen. Well, how do we know who's chosen? If you receive the gift, you have been chosen. That can begin to settle that debate, but the debate's much deeper. But know if you're wrestling with that, how do you know if you're chosen? If you accept the gift that he's given you. And so as you begin to live this life and you're following Jesus, that you would put on these things. And they're all so related, aren't they? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. When you're patient with others, all of those are wrapped into that. And you're showing that kindness, that compassion to others. So it's interesting, though. So we're taught this by the scriptures, yet it's difficult, isn't it? It's challenging to do this. And what's so interesting, I find, is that we live in such a technologically advanced society. We can send emails, we can send letters. I can order on Amazon, and things are there on my doorstep in minutes. And maybe not minutes, but that same day. Some of you are like, do you have access to that drone? I don't have the drone delivery yet. But we're not more patient people. We get things instantly, yet we're not more patient. And so, I think our society is in desperate need for those who are patient. Now, be careful of this. The old second century theologian, St. Augustine, said, be aware, be afraid of the patience of the proud, of the arrogant. Because with patience, you can appear very religious and, I'm greater, I'm more patient than others. Be very careful of this as we're talking about patience. Because true patience, as we'll see, is rooted in God's love and forgiveness. True patience is actually rooted in the fact that we aren't all put together. But society today is more and more rushed, and we feel this. I was reading an article and thinking about this. And I saw this in a newspaper online, and it said, put on patience. Or no, sorry, that's my own note. But it said, pack patience this summer. said, we are going to have more airlines, U.S. and the U.S. airlines, we're going to have 234.1 million travelers this year alone, the most it's ever been. And we've seen this on the news, haven't we? People getting dragged off planes and fights going on planes. And there's this anxiety, there's this angst when we travel. Do you know, actually, in your brain, when stress and impatience kicks in, your cortisol actually increases and your decision-making and your clear thinking process decreases. So you actually make poorer decisions when you're stressed, when you're dealing with these frustrations in life. Yet, when you begin to look at it, if you begin to have a plan in place, knowing that you will practice patience, you will be far more equipped going in ahead when something comes your way that's frustrating. Here's a little bit of homework this week I want you to try if you struggle with patience, as you try to put on patience in your life this week. In the grocery store, when you're waiting in line, I want you to find the longest line. Do you do that like me? Do you sit there and not only do you judge who's in the line, but then you judge the cashier, and you're doing all these calculations. And there's nothing wrong with being efficient. I love efficiency. But I want you to try it. And you do this, if you're like me, I pick the line and I'm never content because I want to see my decision. And so I'm judging all other lines. And so I'm not really present in the moment. I want you to just go ahead, pick the longest line and practice patience. And in moments of frustration, I want you to do this, another P, pray. To take time, to be patient, and just be aware. When you become impatient, notice how your body feels, and stop and reflect, and I want you to simply enjoy the moment, and maybe even take that moment to talk to God. Pray for our nation. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for those that you love. And just be present. And know that you've picked the longest line, so you don't have to look at the other lines. If you're driving, if you're commuting, pick that lane that you know is the slowest lane and enjoy the time. Spend time, because I would argue this, I'm all for efficiency, but I would say time in prayer and time being present is time far better spent and is more efficient than spending the whole time worrying, trying to save 30 seconds, and all you did for 2, 3, 4, 10 minutes is worry. Practice patience. Put on patience this week. Go ahead, give it a try. And when you're prepared mentally going in with a plan, you will find that your cortisol will decrease. You will be more aware of what God's doing. So I want us to know this. The second point is this. To come to know how patient and loving God is towards us. So if we're going to practice patience, we need to come to know how patient and loving God is towards us. Because this, friends, this makes all the difference in the world. Because the reality is, you and I, we have a bunch of sin, what the Bible says, our mistakes. And the Bible says that God is patient, that he does not repay us as our sins deserve. Yet God continues to forgive us time and time again. I want to call up John Pankow, who's is in my life group and a friend of mine. Let me go ahead and call you up, and we've got a microphone here. Colin, will this be on for Wilshire Live? Okay, John, why don't you come on up? John's going to share just a little story as he was sharing in our life group this week. And John, when you just shared it, I was like, man, that's what I'm talking about. And so go ahead and just share, and yeah, I'd love to hear from you. So, and maybe step this way so Wilshire Live could see you right there. Yeah.
So last week we were talking about forgiveness and, you know, God forgiving us for our sins and forgiving each other and everything. And, you know, I was just sharing in our life group that the conviction I feel a lot of, you know, wake up in the morning and
go a little closer.
Oh, yeah. Ask God for forgiveness for, you know, little things, right? My attitude or whatever it might be. And then halfway through the day, you know, find myself having a bad attitude about something or not doing something I should have and asking God, God, forgive me for this again. And I was just thinking, like, if I was asking my wife, Cherie, for forgiveness over and over like this, she'd get pretty frustrated with me after a while, you know, like, John, wake up, get it, you know. And so, you know, the seriousness of, like, Jesus dying on the cross for us, and then yet we keep sinning and keep asking God for forgiveness over and over, is pretty humbling, right? And so I was just sharing with our group that, you know, that's convicting to me, but then God's patience for us, knowing that we're human and that we're learning as time goes on, is kind of what we were talking about.
Yeah, appreciate that, John. Thank you. Give it up for John being vulnerable with us this morning. Thanks, John. Appreciate your words. You know, just that we were sitting there, and John led us in this moment of, wow, every day I wake up, I ask God for forgiveness, and then I mess up. I can relate. I think we can all relate that we try to follow God and yet we fail. And yet God's love and patience continues to overflow in our lives. Last week we talked about that in previous weeks as well, that nothing you can do can make God love you less. If you've accepted Jesus, if you've trusted him as your Savior, if you've allowed the blood that was shed on the cross to wash away the stain of your sins, there is nothing, nothing that you can do that would make God love you less. And so time and time again, we have to ask for God's forgiveness, yet God grants forgiveness time and time again. We don't deserve it. It's not something we deserve. And I think in the Bible, there's a great story that really shows this. I'm going to paraphrase it for us, but you can look it up. It's in Matthew 18, 22 to 35. And it's the story of this king, this master. And he has this servant who owes him 10, as the NIV translates it, 10,000 bags of gold. Imagine that. Imagine what one bag of gold would be worth. I mean, gold was precious then, precious now, valuable commodity. And so one bag of gold. And so Jesus is the one telling this story. So imagine that. 10,000 bags of gold. Imagine that filling this room. What Jesus is trying to show, it's a debt that no average person, no normal person could simply repay. And so what the king says is, you have to repay this debt. And so if you can't, you have to pay it. You have to be sold, you and your family, into slavery. And the servant gets down on his knees and he begs the king for his life. And he says, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I will do everything I can to repay the debt. And there's some irony in that, because what Jesus is trying to show, you can't re- this man had no capability of repaying that debt. He had no chance at all to re... There was no way he was going to find 10,000 bags of gold. And so the servant, the king, grants him forgiveness and says, I'm going to erase all of your debt. You owe me nothing. Go and be free. And he sets this man free. Do you know what this man does? And let me set this in context. If you were here last week with us, right before the context of this passage, Jesus is approached by Peter and he says, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus responds, no, 77 times. Really just as a way to show, you got to keep on, keep on, keep on forgiving your brother that sins against you. Because that's part of patience, isn't it? When somebody sins against you, you have to be patient towards them. And when you realize that God is patient towards you, you're going to naturally forgive and love others. But here's the twist in the story. The twist is this. The one that was forgiven 10,000 bags of gold, this debt, what does he do next? He remembers in his mind that somebody owes him. He says, I don't have any money. I wasn't able to repay. And so I need to go and collect the debt that people owe me. And so he goes and asks, he knew of a man that owed him 100 silver coins. 100 silver coins. And he begins to strangle this man. And he says, you owe me this money. And the man cannot repay him. So what does he do? He throws him in prison. Now, the other servants that saw this, they witnessed this and went back and reported it to their master, to their king. And they report and they said, the one you forgave the debt is going out and he's not forgiving the debt of others. The master, the king, was not satisfied with this. And he said, you evil servant, I forgave you everything. And you are exacting, you are trying to get this small amount out of others. Wicked. He describes this as being a wicked servant. You have been forgiven much. And that's what Jesus is showing. In God's kingdom, you and I have been forgiven tremendously. Far more than we deserve. You and I, we have a debt that we can't repay. And yet God forgives us. What would it look like if we began to show forgiveness to others? When God shows us an infinite amount of forgiveness. Yet, it's hard, right? It's hard to show. The next point is practice patience with others. So if we put on patience in our life, if we come to know God's love and patience towards us, then we can practice patience with others. But it's difficult. And all this week, so it was so interesting, this week as I was reflecting and thinking about just patience. And so I was on hyper alert because I knew I'm practicing on patience or preaching on patience. And so I'm just aware all this week. And that's what I encourage you to do this week is be aware, be mindful in how you can be patient. So as I'm practicing it, I was kind of having this week where I'm like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good with this patience thing. And I felt like God showed me something last night. As I'm tucking my girls into bed, and if you have little kids or grandkids or you know this, then when you're trying to put a kid, it's, well, I need water, I need this, I need my finger, and just a million things. It's like, go to bed. Like, I need some, mommy and daddy just need some peace of her own. And so we're doing everything to put my daughter to sleep, and we get my daughters down, and I'm in the kitchen cleaning. And all of a sudden, I hear down the hallway, and in my mind, I'm going to lose it. I'm just like, I've told her, you know, and I'm just like, patience, you know, I'm like, I know about patience, but, and I'm just like, when she comes out, I'm like, what excuse do you have? And I'm just like ready to like, go back to bed, you know, and just have one of these moments in my mind. And I'm like, what are you doing out, sweetie? You know, and she says, Dad, you forgot to tell me a Jesus story. Okay. And I paused. I wasn't even that quick. I was like, okay, you get the Jesus story. You know, it just, I felt like God showed me that, Rob, practice patience. There's one who is far greater. And God used a little 4-year-old to teach me that this week. That there is something far greater going on here, and it's beyond, it's what other people need. They need Jesus. And the way you and I show Jesus to them is by patience and kindness. Yeah, but I know what you're saying is, yeah, but Pastor, but what about the people that don't deserve it? I mean, think about those people. Who are the people you get impatient with? What about the people that do wrong to you, to harm you, those that persecute our nation? Think about our enemies. Do you know that God loves them? That might be hard for us to hear, that God loves the person that cuts you off in traffic. God loves the person in the grocery line that's telling their whole life story and you're trying to get through that line. God loves them. God loves the person that has sinned against you 100 times. God loves them. And so our divine responsibility is to practice patience, to show patience, to show kindness to them. Because here's what patience is really rooted in. I want us to look at the last point. Because I want to, let me bring up this one verse. 1 John 1:8 basically says this: if we claim to be without sin, we've deceived ourselves, and that the truth is not in us. So if we claim we have not sinned, we're liars, other translations put it. If we don't acknowledge our own sin, we're liars. If we don't go before God and realize that we're broken, that we need to be healed, then the Bible says we're liars. So when we realize that we need God's forgiveness, we are much more likely to show forgiveness to others. Let me end with this last section, this last point. And the last point for filling it in, perspective perfects patience. Perspective perfects patience. If you're struggling with patience, I want us to put in perspective. And I feel like this quote by John Calvin, he's a 16th century theologian, that he has this. He says this, that immortality is the mother of patience. Immortality is the mother of patience. When you and I, although we are mortal beings, we will all die. Yet when you put your hope and faith in Jesus, you realize that although you die, you will live forever. When you put eternity into the package, in your perspective, you begin to realize maybe this grocery line tantrum in my mind, right? We show them in our minds, not necessarily like little kids sometimes, but sometimes as adults, we act out. When we begin to think about eternity, that puts in perspective. Now, if you've lived many years, and we need younger generations to learn this. And so here I'm looking at this room, you have a wealth of knowledge that younger generations need, young and old, that perspective gets brought in different ways. And so we need to speak into each other's lives more and more. But each one of us as believers, when we realize that God's eternity, and we think about eternity as a perspective, patience begins to come more and more. Here's another perspective that we've already talked about summarizing. That when we realize our frailty, if you wake up every morning knowing that you need God's forgiveness, that will put perspective on other people's sins. When people sin against you, you will realize you won't be so puffed up and so, how could they? I've done that myself. In fact, I've asked God for forgiveness 1,000 times in that category. I might not have ever said those words, but I sure have thought them. And so when we put our own sin, if we don't deceive ourselves, if we realize that we're just as sinful as anybody and everybody else. Because here's the deal, friends, that these are life and death issues matters here. Life and death matters that we're dealing. Showing patience to somebody can often, and here's, let me go to this verse. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans 2, 3 through 4. We'll read this last verse, and then I've got one parable I want to share with you. Romans 2 says this: since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think that you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? That's from the New Living Translation. Other versions have said, God's kindness leads to repentance. God's kindness and towards others, God's kindness towards you. Because what can happen with impatience, we want people to be perfect, don't we? Well, if they would just act like I do, if they would just get their act together, then I could treat them with patience. No, love and kindness, patience towards somebody, even when they don't deserve it, the scriptures talk about, God says, that is actually what leads people towards a change in their life. Kindness leads people to repentance. Kindness, grace, mercy, patience leads people to life change, leads people to repentance. Let me close with this last story. There was a taxi cab driver in New York City who pulled up in a New York City. It's common to honk the horn, lay on the horn, and say, hey, the taxi cab driver pulled up, had the address, and the person, when they heard the horn, they were supposed to come right out. They didn't come out. So taxi cab driver lays on his horn, waits a few seconds, lays on his horn again. He had a rough day and was just sick and tired of people either stiffing him tips or just a difficult day. And he said, this other person had to drive all the way outside of town, out of my way to pick up this person, and they're not there. So he was about to drive off, and he just got this feeling inside of him that he should maybe stay. So he walks up to the door, knocks on the door, and an elderly lady opens the door and says, sorry, I was trying to gather a few things. Forgive me. So she's got this big, heavy bag, and he notices the furniture in the room. It's very barren in there, and there's cloths over the furniture, and it looks like nobody's lived there for a while. And so he carries this big bag, and as he gets her all situated, she sits in the back seat. She says, okay, where to? So she gives him the address. He punches it in, and then she says, but on the way there, would you mind, could we drive through downtown? He said, well, actually, that's way out of the way. And so he's even a little frustrated with her because he feels like she's not really going to understand the fare, how much it's going to cost. And so he's just like, let's get going. And she's like, well, I really want to go through downtown. She says, my doctor said I don't have a lot of time to live. The taxi cab driver in that moment had a little bit of eternity, if you will, in perspective, a little bit of a lifespan in perspective. And he turns off the meter and says, okay, let's drive through downtown. And as he's driving, this woman begins to tell him the story. This is where I met my husband. I worked in this elevator shaft, and this is where I had my first job. And this is where I met this person who changed my life. And so they're going through downtown, and she's teaching the taxi cab driver about all these wonderful destinations. And so he's learning, and they're talking, just having this great conversation. And in the conversation, he comes to find out that she doesn't have any family left. All of her family has passed away or gone away or left her. And so she's just having this wonderful conversation with this taxi cab driver. She just cherishes this conversation. And she's telling him all about it. And then finally they arrive at their destination. And as he's getting out, he looks out and he realizes where he's dropping her off is hospice. This was this woman's last few days on the earth. And yet he took the time to turn off the meter, to listen, to have patience with her. Because he didn't know, think about, he could have driven away, he could have just said, no, we're not going to go through downtown, I got to get to my next thing, or, well, if you do, I'm going to charge you for it. But he showed this woman patience and kindness. He showed her a glimpse, I don't know whether he was a believer or not, but he showed her a glimpse of God's love. You and I, friends, we have that opportunity in every moment, in every day, to share God's love with others, to slow down, to let each person know they are loved, they are valued by God. Would you enter into patience this week so you could show people how much they matter to God and how much they matter to you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, maybe some of us right now need to repent, to turn and say, I've been impatient. God, help me, help us as a community to turn from impatience, to turn towards you, a God who is loving, who is patient by very nature. God, you are love by nature, and yet you have called us to walk into a life of patience, of trusting you, of putting our faith, our hope in you, knowing that although we die, we will live forever. Father, help us to put our trust in you and to be patient with others. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.